Hey, welcome to my show, Feng Shui Your Way on UK Health Radio. I'm Janine Lo, your go-to Feng Shui consultant and Chinese astrologer. I've been helping people transform their lives for over 20 years, from private clients to big names and businesses, and I can't wait to share my tips and stories with you. My guest today is Kelly Sullivan-Walden, also known as the Dr. Dream. She's a renowned dream expert, spiritual counsellor, certified clinic hypnotherapist, TEDx speaker, and best-selling author. Kelly has spent more than 25 years helping people understand how their dreams can become powerful tools for healing, insight, and transformation. Her newest book, Dreamfesting, Harnessing the Power of Your Dreams to Create the Life You Desire, introduces a revolutionary approach to manifestation, one that works not just with the conscious mind, but with the wisdom of the dreaming mind itself. Welcome to UK Health, Kelly.
Thank you so much, Janine. It's so wonderful to be with you. And my youngest sister is named Janine, so I have such a warm feeling in my heart when I even say the name. And I love your book, Feng Shui, Your Way to Abundance, and I love your show. And it's an honor to be with you. And shout out to Teresa Chung for bringing us together.
Our friend who we were both talking about, Teresa, just before we came on the show, just so you know.
Yeah. Thanks for being the matchmaker.
She is, isn't she? So to open this, right? So I'm very much into manifesting. So clearly many people are familiar with manifestation, aren't they? But you introduced the concept of dreamfesting. What exactly is dreamfesting, and how is it different to manifesting?
So I talk about in the very beginning of the book, I have a quiz so you can determine whether you're a manifester, a womanifester, or a dreamifester. So I distinguish it by saying the extreme manifester doesn't take no for an answer. They say, I want this, I get it, out of my way, and it happens no matter what. So it's kind of masculine. There's man in the word. So it's great. We all need to manifest. I mean, we couldn't survive if we didn't. But I'm talking about the extreme, just to make a point. So the extreme manifesting is like, get out of my way. I want it. I get it. And then there's the womanifestors that say, I can't do it myself. Can you help me, please? I think of Scarlett O'Hara. I can't do it myself. Somebody please do it for me. So people come out from the woodworks to say, oh, I'll be your hero. I'll help you. I'll lift that for you. I'll carry it for you. What else do you need? What else do you need? So womanifestors, we all need people. So we're all womanifestors to a certain degree because none of us are an island. But I'm talking about the extreme. Some people really live in that archetype. The dreamifester is somebody who brings, from my perspective, the best of manifesting, that get up and go yang energy, and the yin of allowing people, places, circumstances to come to you magnetically. And then you add the element of dreams, which is tapping into the subconscious, tapping into the unconscious, tapping into the spirit, and allowing that which is way beyond our physical capabilities, our ancestors, our angels that come through in our dreams to help us align us to what is highest and best on a soul level. So to me, a dreamifester creates results, but they're from a soulular place, not just an ego place.
So soul purpose driven.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So in dreamifesting, in the book, I have people identify what they want. And usually it's money, as you talk about in your book. Like at the end of the day, what people want is like, if I had money, then I could pay for the support. I could pay for the vacations. I could pay for my family member that's struggling. I could, you know, you could do so much with money. So really what people want is money. But under it, because we know there's so many very wealthy people. I live in LA, in Los Angeles, California, not too far from Beverly Hills, where per capita more people take their lives. So there's a lot of depression in Beverly Hills where there is no lack of money. And we hear about it every day where there's people that have so much wealth and still they are desperately unhappy. So money doesn't by itself fix it. So I asked people to go deeper than what they want on the surface level of money. What do you want on a soul level? So if you had the money, what spiritual quality would that bring you? And often people say, well, if I had the money that I needed, I would feel peaceful. I would feel relieved. I would feel like I had the liberty to tap into spirit. I would be more creative. I would spend time with the people I love. So I thought, so that's the real meat of it. So we want to just inverse it. We don't want to say, let's get rid of the money. No, we want to just say, let's have the soul goal first and then the ego secondarily. So ultimately you can have it all, but in the order of soul.
Interesting. Very interesting. It's something.
How does that land on you? Because you're quite a manifestation expert. So no. I'm curious, how is that landing on you?
It's funny. One of my girlfriends said to me, you know, what do you manifest, you know, and I probably do it all the time. I'm just so practiced in doing it. It just comes naturally. So if I say, oh, I really fancy that car, you know, suddenly it starts to appear and, you know, the world starts going like this.
Yep.
So for me, I'm thinking everything you're saying is right. I do think that money it's interesting what you said, because I think money gives you the freedom to go after what you want. What I don't understand in life is where people, like you say, have all the money and they're not happy. So
correct.
That to me is quite hard. I think money gives you freedom, but if you don't know what you want to do in life, then it's not a thing, is it?
Exactly. I mean, I know. I have a handful of very wealthy clients, and the ones that do what I say, they have a shift in consciousness. So I'm thinking of one person in particular that is really hard headed, and she just continues to buy more plastic surgery, buy another car, buy another Louis Vuitton bag, and pay for a more expensive trainer, and she is miserable. So and she comes to me. Does she listen? Not all the time, but I think of it in terms of a three-act play. The first act of the play is us coming into this world, and I'm borrowing Shakespeare, of course. This isn't all original. Hello, Shakespeare. But act one is our innocence, is when we are just the most precious, bright, light-filled souls, that we're naturally attractive. We're naturally magnets because we're just so full of love with no pretense, no ego. But at the end of act one, somewhere our innocence gets lost. Somewhere we get whacked. Either somebody dies, somebody doesn't come to our rescue when we need it, something happens. And that is the end of act one. The beginning of act two is about kind of the trauma state and compensation with masks. How do we compensate for this difficult world we have to live in? So most people are living in act two, where it's about compensation, compensation, compensation. And a lot of manifesting comes from this lack place of pain, of deep pain. And a lot of manifesting happens really well. But at the end of act two, this is usually when there's the existential crisis, where it's either I have everything I've ever wanted and it's still not filling up that hole inside, or I've become repellent and nothing I do is working. And usually that's the crisis point where people want to check out. And if they don't check out, this could be the beginning of act three, which is a state of grace, which is you fall on your knees and say, okay, universe, God, higher power, whatever you are, I can't do it by myself anymore. Help me. And this is where dreamifesting really kicks in, because dreams, right at the time that we're dreaming, is when we are a captured audience. This is when our angels, our God, our higher self can really help us align with our true mission, our true values, and what we want to bring into our lives that isn't just going to go away after the next fad passes out of fashion. It's so act three is really where dreamifesting takes place. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, it's really exciting. And I will go into that a little bit later. But I mean, in fairness, when I dream that proper dream, you know, the dream that you know, then the next day is a completely different thing. But this is your show, so I'm going
to
let you.
No. I'd love to hear. I think your listeners would love. I think it would be great.
I know one of the biggest things the listeners will say Because I've talked about dreams to people, but for some listeners, they don't dream or never remember them, their dreams.
Yeah.
And they feel that they're missing out, or can anyone learn to access this process? Is that something that you cover in your book, or something that you can give our listeners advice on now?
Absolutely. And it is a valid question. And most people don't pay attention to their dreams, because most people, the moment they wake up, they hear that alarm, they jump out of bed, they're on social media, they're in the news, they're busy people. So most people don't pay attention to dreams. And that's where Teresa Chung and I come in, where it's like, oh my God, your life would be so much smoother, easier, better, more fulfilling if you did just take 5 minutes in the early morning to pay attention. So I cover a whole lot of techniques in Dreamifesting for how to remember your dreams. But here's one little sneaky trick.
Okay.
First of all, feel that missing out, that FOMO, that, oh man, how come I'm, that's good. That's very positive, because that means that you're wanting to pay attention to dreams. So this is a shameless plug, but what I hear is when people read Dreamifesting as they go to sleep, even just one page, one paragraph, their dreams start kicking in. And really, the truth is, you can read any dream-related material before bedtime, and you're going to start thinking about, ooh, I really want to remember my dreams. Hey, subconscious mind, help me remember, make them vivid so that I will catch them on the other side. And then your job when you wake up in the morning is to do nothing else, even if you have to go to the loo, take your journal, take your phone, or wherever you record your dreams. Do that before you take in any other content. Let the very first thing you do is let it be between you and your dreams. And even if you don't remember a dream exactly, this is one thing I talk about in my TED talk. I say, here's another little trick. Write something down first thing in the morning. Even if you're thinking, it's not my dream, I can't remember it, you're still thinking something that is probably dream adjacent. So at least record that. If you get in the practice of writing something down first thing in the morning before you turn to the media, if you do that first, within a week, I promise one of those things you record will be an element or a full-blown dream.
Interesting. We're just going to hand over to our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll explore this, and I have some things to say on it. So we'll see you guys on the other side.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Okay, going back to what you were saying earlier, right? So every morning I wake up with, I always make it something I do with gratitude. So I appreciate everything that happened the day before. I put it out to the universe and I say thank you. Now, I used to think that was a bit weird doing that, but because I've done a lot of listening to a lot of people, but one of the things that happens is during that time, the dream of the night, which I do dream every night, filters into that
space
that you're talking about. I may not necessarily have remembered the dream, but that filters in. So then I think, oh, well, that's something that's going to happen and, you know, intuitively, but it is the dream that's put it there. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And this is why most people, when they're taking the shower, when they're walking the dog, when they're driving to work, is when their dreams pop in. When you kind of step into the alpha state, that when you're not quite in your beta mode, when you're kind of in between worlds, when you're making a gratitude list, you're sort of tapping into that broader state of consciousness where your dreams can start to filter in. And I think, and by the way, a big chunk of dreamifesting, I would say a pillar of the dreamifesting temple, is gratitude, being so grateful and practicing it every day. In fact, one of the practices I have is, I thought it was completely original, but apparently other people have been doing this. But what came to me was, if you have something that you're not grateful for, something yucky that has happened, somebody that you're upset with, you identify that and think of it as a thorn. And then your job for every one thing you're not grateful for is to think of 10 things, like 10 roses for each thorn, that you are grateful for, even about that person. So for example, somebody that, a sibling of mine, I just had a little rift with, I could say, I'm upset that we had a rift, but I'm grateful for the fact that we're still in communication. We're both alive. That means that we might get to work it out. I'm grateful for the fact that we've had difficulties way before and we've always worked them out. I'm grateful for the fact that we love each other so much that we are close enough to hurt each other's feelings. Oh my God. There's so many things that I can be grateful for, even about the thing I'm not. But so I just want to say that my dreamifesting practice is dreams first, write the dream down first, only because sometimes it's so slippery. It will be gone within just a few minutes. And then I add my gratitude list. So I always follow my dreams with gratitude. And sometimes when I'm in my gratitude list, I'll think of other elements of the dream that I hadn't thought of before. So I think they're great. Yeah.
While I was dipping into your book outlines a structured 12-week dreamfesting journey. I know you're not going to give us all the secrets about the book, but can you give an overview? That would be really interesting, I'm sure.
Yeah. So here's a little transparent peek behind the scenes. So when I was in my early to mid 20s, I did The Artist Way, and by Julia Cameron. And I fell so in love with that book, and I loved the structure, the 12-week structure, that I began facilitating Artist Way workshops. And I always had it as a dream of mine that I would write a book one day that used this 12-week format so that people could really get into it, practice it with a group, practice it with friends, and do it together. So that planted a seed. So cut to 25 years later, I give my book proposal to my agent, and lo and behold, she gets the attention of the publisher who originally published Julia Cameron's Artist Way.
No.
Yes. They were, I think, at Penguin Random House, but now at St. Martin's Press. So my publisher is Julia Cameron's publisher. And he saw dreamifesting as the artist's way on dreams. So it was like kismet. And so the 12-week format, we cover different elements of dreamifesting each week for 12 weeks so that people really get it. And I use the metaphor of flight because there's probably no better dream to have than the dream of flying. So I use this as a core metaphor throughout the book. And so each of the 12 weeks, we talk about a different element of flight. There's preparing for flight, packing, what are you going to bring with you and what are you not going to bring with you? And then there's who are you traveling with? Who are your traveling companions? This is where there's a little bit of shadow work to do. It's not about, I just want to manifest all the happiness and I'm going to leave all my sadness behind. Nope. That part of you, if you ever saw the movie Inside Out, your sadness ain't going anywhere. You got to learn how to make friends with the part of you that is cynical, sad, upset, as well as the part of you that is spectacular and stunning and exciting. Everyone comes along. And then the following weeks, it's about how do you stay on course with the control tower when things, especially when they get turbulent. So who is the control tower? What is your North Star? What is it that's really pulling you through? And then there's basically, I'm not going through every single stage, but then how do you land? Once you manifest something or dreamifest something, sometimes people don't realize there's one gentleman I interviewed for the book who is a lottery winner. At age 19, he had a dream about winning the lottery. And it took a few months, but the energy of the dream is what every time he felt the energy of the dream, he would buy a lottery ticket. And at 19 years old, he was living in his parents' basement at the time, dropped out of college. He was just not doing well, but he won $20 million, which I think is like probably 30 million pounds. It changed his life. But then what he realized is when you get your dream, when your dream comes true, there's a whole lot of other stuff you have to think about. And they call it, it'll come to me. It'll come, but it's basically this idea of when you get what you want, there's this remorse that comes that people treat you differently. Some people that were your friends are no longer your friends. Some people want to be your friends just because they want to ride your coattails. So there's a whole psychological thing that a lot of people who have not just won the lottery with money, but in love, all of a sudden, if you were part of a group that didn't have a loved one, and then all of a sudden you've got this hot, studly person you're madly in love with, everyone's going to be jealous. Or you kind of have to prepare for how you come in for a landing with this. How do you organize that within yourself so that you don't sabotage your success, which is a huge, huge piece of it. So what did he call it? Sudden wealth syndrome, SWS. So we must prepare for sudden wealth syndrome. What will we do once we have everything we want? We need to prepare psychologically so that we don't let go of it. So many people, it's like most lottery winners lose their money within 2 to 3 years because they didn't build up the internal equivalent to be able to handle it. So we want to make sure to be able to handle what it is we're going to all this trouble to dreamifest. So that's the basic structure.
Yeah. So for the listeners, what you're saying is you're dreaming what you want, but you've got to see the whole picture so that the dream carries on. You know, everybody who knows me, I'm a massive rescuer of street cats. And if I was to come into a large amount of money, but it's like the guy just you said.
Yes, yes.
My life be focused on spending the money that way. And I think that's when you say you have to have something. And anyone without money can have this. They can just give their time. Yeah. But I know that if I had this money, I know how much joy that would bring me. So I've got off the jet. I'm there. I know what I want.
You've got a plan. You've got a plan for your sudden wealth syndrome. You know what to do. And that gives you life. It's not just like because sometimes, I mean, we all know Marianne Williamson's famous quote about how our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. And we all say, oh, no, I'm just, you know, I'm going to stop quoting her at this point. But most of us, our greatest fear is success, way more than failure. So to have a plan for that success that is something that feels really good is so important. And what I say with dreamifesting, the shortcut to dreamifesting is to think about those beautiful cats having a home and having a place to be as you go to sleep. Like, let that be this exciting thought. And then you hand over the baton to your subconscious mind and say, help me align with this. Show me what's in my blind spot and show me what I need to accelerate. So when I wake up in the morning, that dream is going to contain clues for how to accelerate this journey in a very organic way, because our dreams are like, what is it? According to the American Hypnosis Association, our subconscious dreaming mind is 88% of our mind's power. And most of the time we're only using the 12% logic and we're missing out on the 88%. So when you think about those cats and all that abundance, as you go to sleep, give that over to your subconscious mind. Pay attention to the dreams. Upon awakening, there will be a quickening of bringing into reality that dream.
And before we go to our sponsors, I know you are telling the absolute truth because it's happened to me. But we're just going to hand over to our sponsors. This is actually fascinating, by the way, understanding our dreams. And you're going to help us out do the heavy lifting. But anyway, we're going to be back, Kelly, and we're going to talk about your personal journey and deeper spiritual meaning behind dreaming.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Kelly Sullivan Walton. So let me ask you this question. Your own life journey included a near-death experience.
Yes.
That deeply shaped your work. How did that change your understanding of dreams and consciousness?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's so strange to say. It was that my near-death experience was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Yeah,
I wouldn't take it away. And people always say, well, what happened? So the nutshell of what happened when I had my near-death experience was basically I hadn't eaten all day. I was at the dentist. I'm one of those people that they have to put an ungodly amount of Novocaine for me to not feel. And I feel way too much. And even with, they said, oh my God, I can't believe you can still feel. They kept putting more and more in me. So I was full of Novocaine. I was off my rocker and I hadn't eaten and I couldn't eat afterwards because my, so it was like, So when I finally went to dinner that night for my 40th birthday on 8/8/2008, you'll be happy about that. So I knew it was going to be special that night. And the reason I went to the dentist was because we were moving and I needed to do all that before. But anyway, at dinner, a friend handed us, as we were waiting for our food to come, she cut up a chocolate chip cookie and she was a wonderful baker. So I just went, I gobbled it down. And it was after I ate it that she said, "Oh, I should have mentioned that's a special cookie." And I was like, "What do you mean? What do you mean special?" And so I was a lightweight. I had never done any, I had had alcohol before, but not marijuana, not any hallucinogenic. I'd never done any of that. I was fine. And then all of a sudden, about a half an hour later, the whole room spun and I felt myself leaving. Long story short, I left my body and I was flung like out of a slingshot, like a pebble from a slingshot, bam, into the most glorious heaven, the most glorious space I'd ever seen. And there was a fight to leave, like leaving my body. I was fighting to hold on. And then finally, when I couldn't hold on anymore, the freedom was so extraordinary. It was like, what was all that fighting about? What was all that? Oh my God. And then I got to look back at my life, have the full life review and think, oh, Kelly, oh my God, why did you hold on so tightly to all these things? And why were you such a drama queen? Oh my God, all this love has always been available. You didn't need any of that. And while I was there, I was like, this state of being, I had the awareness, this is just like dreaming, because I'm out of my body when I'm dreaming. We're not in our bodies when we're dreaming. We're somewhere else. We're hovering maybe just above, or we also go far away. So our every dream is a mini death. It's a mini death. And we explore some of the same places. It's just in this near-death experience that I had, I was fully lucid, fully aware, and I was able to, there's so much, I mean, literally I could write volumes about what happened to me, but basically I have no fear of death. I don't want to suffer as I'm dying. I don't want anybody to suffer, but when a loved one passes, I'm very happy for them because it's like a graduation. It's beautiful. And I feel like every time I feel lost or insecure or I'm struggling, I literally think of myself on the other side and that state of consciousness that I had, and I call it in. And I also tell people, you can do this. This is what Einstein did with his dream that he had when he was a teenager. He was 13 years old. He had a dream where he was sledding through the Alps and he was with his friends and he hit a patch of ice and went sailing way beyond his friends, and he broke the sound barrier. He was going so fast. And once he broke that barrier, he had the answers to every question he had ever had. He had access to all knowledge, all wisdom. And throughout his career, and even on his deathbed, he said that it was that dream that he would tap into every time he was lost, he was confused, he was afraid, he was stumped, and he would reverse engineer every answer from that state of consciousness, from a dream that he had as a teenager. So I believe we all have at least one of those kind of dreams, or we have a near-death experience. I think the near-death experience is for the people who are a little thick, that we need a little more of a shakeup like I did. I think most people can be a little more subtle and just have a really positive dream that we access throughout our lives. So I think that's kind of the overlap between dreams and near-death experiences.
I can't believe we have a couple of minutes left, and I'm going to ask you a couple more things.
Sure, yes.
For someone listening right now who feels stuck or overwhelmed, what is the very first step they can take toward dream festing? Now, I know the answer is buy your book, which I'll put out there. But if they were just sitting there and they wanted, you know, I know you said about how you get, you know, you bring your dreams and how you do the when you wake up, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
People who like me, I mean, I'm an intuitive, so it's quite easy. I know that whatever I see in the dream, I need to translate into something else. But say somebody was just dreaming about Uncle Tom or something and this sort of thing.
Yeah.
What would your suggestion be for them? What would you...
So I'll backtrack first. I would first say, whoever, if to your wonderful listeners here on UK Health Radio, I would say, first make a list of the things that you want, the things that you want changed, improved, better. So just make that list. And then once you're done with that list, make a list of the feelings that you will have once you have achieved those things. And if you want to get very fancy, pick one thing only. So if it's the money, for example, how will you feel once you have that wealth? And focus on that feeling tone at bed, right before you go to sleep, that feeling of already having it, because you do already have the feeling without having to have the result. So think about that before you go to sleep. And then remember your dream upon awakening. And if the dream is about Uncle Tom, consider that that dream is a feedback system from your subconscious. Was Uncle Tom supportive? Was he somebody that always believed in you? If you're a woman and you're dreaming of a man, then consider that it's the masculine aspect of yourself. So maybe you need to be more forthright. You need to be more out there in the world. Maybe you need to access the part of you that is older and wiser and masculine in order to get those things done. Or if he was a challenging person in your life, you might consider that that might be part of the thing that is keeping you stuck, and your dreams are trying to help you flesh it out so that you can move with more velocity toward the things that you want.
So, guys, listeners, you heard it from her. She knows everything about it. She's amazing, as I say. But finally, where can my readers and listeners, where can they find you on social?
Thank you so much. I'm starting to spend a lot of time on Substack these days. So I'm doing, and in fact, I'm going to be doing a weekly broadcast from my Substack. And so they can find me, Kelly Sullivan Walden, on Substack, or Dreamifesting. You can also find me on, my website is kellysullivanwalden.com. You can also get there by going to dreamifesting.com. That's dream, I-F-E-S-T-I-N-G.com. I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Kelly S. Walden. Facebook, Kelly Sullivan Walden Dreams. That's long. And I am an occasional co-host on UK Health Radio with Teresa Chong and Margarita Mitchell Pollock on The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And that's where you can find me.
They can buy your book. It's out now.
Oh, yes. It's everywhere. And the audiobook just came out. So for a lot of people who want to listen to it before you go to sleep, you can get the audiobook.
So listeners, the book is called Dreamifesting, Harness the Power of Your Dreams to Create the Life You Desire. Wow. Kelly, this has been such an inspiring conversation. I mean, I just could keep talking. In fact, when the show's over, I think I might just carry on talking to you.
and so, we will.
It's a beautiful reminder that our dreams may not just belong to the night. They may actually be guiding us towards our purpose, healing, and future. Thank you, Kelly, for being on my show.
Thank you so much, Janine. Feng Shui your way here on UK Health Radio. So wonderful to be with you. Thank you, Teresa Chung, for being a wonderful matchmaker extraordinaire.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Feng Shui Your Way. I can't wait to share more insights and inspirations with you in the next episode. Remember, life is all about creating harmony and welcoming positive energy into your world. Until next time, stay balanced and keep your energy flowing.